Today on Real Radio.
They, in verse 12, had found, 400 virgins. You've got 400 virgins, verse 12 says, that had not known a man. So they say, okay, you 400 young ladies, right here. You got how many guys? 600 guys. You have a deficit of how many people? 200. They're short 200. Who gets the blame? God gets the blame. God, how come you're not supplying all enough girls for the tribe of Benjamin so each guy can have a wife? What's the deal? This is their plan. So watch this. Remember I told you to mark the word give, that you know we cannot give them our daughters? Watch what they do.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a study now called When You Come to the End of the Road. Now, that's an appropriate title. We are in chapter 21, the last chapter of this Old Testament narrative. And remember, one of the main themes conveyed in the text that talks about the period of the Judges is culminated in the very last verse of the last chapter. And in fact, this is mentioned more than once. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Sorcery in the Bible, interesting word. You look at it, sorcery. Don't you think of Mickey Mouse with the little sorcerer's cap on, or beanie, hat, whatever that thing is? That's not what it means. Very, very interesting. In our modern day culture, to us, sorcery is like witchcraft. In the Bible doesn't play around with the peripheral things. It goes straight to the heart of the matter. The word sorcery in Greek is pharmakei. Does that ring a bell? It's where we get the word pharmacology. It's where we get the word pharmacist. Drugs. The word specifically means mind-altering, hallucinogenic-type drugs. Why is that so scary? Why is that so wrong? Because hallucinogenic drugs are amazing. They open your mind and spirit up to the spirit realm. It's a gateway. If you are involved in Satanism, they call that an entry. Did you know that? In Satanism, it's an entry. Where if you do this thing or indulge in those things, it opens up a gate of demonic activity. Drugs can do that. I have a friend who was, before he was a Christian, did hallucinogenic type drugs. And by the grace of God, he saw demonic activity on that trip that he was on that scared him so bad that it caused him to go and consult and find out God and read the Bible. And he wound up coming to Jesus. But that's very rare. It opens up to a dark world. Ambitions, dissensions, heresies, verse 21, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is their lifestyle. This is what they do on a casual basis. Listen, also this, verses 4 to 5, consider how you got there. There are things that God can't do. There's not only places that he won't go to, there's things that he can't do. What do we mean by that? And so it was on the next morning that the people rose early and built an altar there. Oh no, mark it down. The Lord had already provided for them an altar in Shiloh. They had an altar. They could have gone and consulted God. What did they do? This is how we got into trouble before in this book. They built their own altar, created their own worship system. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, here we go, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath, second oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Okay, here we go again. They had made an oath earlier, and they said, anybody who doesn't go with us to war against Benjamin, they're to be put to death, and we swear this oath. These guys are running around shooting their mouth off when they shouldn't be doing this. So now they've backed themselves in a corner. They've only got 600 guys left of the tribe of Benjamin remaining, and they're going to be concerned about that, about how is this tribe going to continue? We need 12 tribes. But we swore an oath, another oath, saying that if anybody did not go to war with us to annihilate Benjamin, that we got to put them to death. God, church, listen, God did not tell these guys to do this. Are you with me? It's very important. And so they've made this pledge, but they've done it in the sense of religion. We built an altar, we did all this stuff, we made offerings. It looks very religious. But what is it that God cannot do? The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and Numbers 23:19, that God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. God does not traffic in the area of lies. He cannot tell a lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Well, is there something that your God can't do? Yes, he cannot sin. The God of the Bible cannot sin, and he cannot lie. And so there are certain things that God cannot do. They want to invoke God into this mess that they've got themselves involved in. Third consideration to this point is looking how you got there. There are things that God will not bless. And this stings. Look at verses 6 through 9. There's certain things, my friend, that God will not bless, no matter how much we ask him. And the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who remain? These 600 guys need wives. If the tribe's going to come back together again, they need to have kids. Seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives. Can you take your pen and highlight that scene that we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives? Have you ever been told, read the fine print before you sign the contract? You need to mark this, and you'll see why in a moment. Amazing. These guys all must have been attorneys. I think you'll see why in a moment. Verse 8, and they said, what one is there from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come up to the camp from Jabesh Gilead. To the assembly. So the men there from Jabesh Gilead did not go out to help in the attack of Benjamin. For when the people were counted, indeed, no inhabitants from Jabesh Gilead was there. All right. They're going to go after these guys. God didn't tell them to do it. Have you ever heard about things being done in the name of religion that God has no business in? Oh, yeah. Things are done in the name of God, and people will hold it against you and I, by the way. If you're a Christian, people will say, I can't believe in your Bible and your God because terrible things have been done in the name of Christianity. This is true. Tell them. You're right. I agree with you. Terrible things have been done in the name of Christianity. There's people who blow up abortion clinics in the name that God told them to do it. Listen, abortion clinics are terrible, but you're not supposed to blow them up. Go vote different people into office and shut down the abortion clinic. But you don't blow it up. Oh, no, God told me. No, he didn't tell you to do that. There's certain things that God will not bless. So these guys, now why? Oh, we did this religious thing. We made an oath. We're going to enforce the law that we've made up. And God, please bless this. It's not going to happen. Point number 2, verses 10 to 23, when you come to the end of the road, know that there is a way back. Know that there's a way back. Just open your eyes and see the Lord, even in the darkest hour. Now watch this. Remember, God is not in this. This is the ways of man. Verses 10 to 12, we want to learn this, to stop and turn around. And we want to do that now because we want to learn from what mistakes these guys make. Verse 10, so the congregation sent out 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, these are Jews killing Jews again, with the edge of the sword, including the women and the children, and this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately or sexually. Kill everybody except the virgin girls. These guys are nuts. But every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected my knowledge. Proverbs 14, 14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. The word is his own counsel. The backslider says, I thought about it, I talked to myself, and I've concluded this is what I'm going to do. It's a dead end. No, God says, stop, turn around. Have you come to the end of the road? Yes. Then stop and turn around and head back to God. How did we ever get to where we're at? We got away from God. So what do? We stop and we turn around and get back to God. That's what we do. Note this, verses 13 to 18 is that we forsake our own plans. Get away from our own plans. That's how we got messed up in the first place. Israel gets all messed up because they're following their own counsel. Have you and I become the legends and the instructors and the guides of our lives? Well, yes, Pastor. That's not good. It's easier to tell an older person that because an older person has made enough mistakes to realize, yeah, it's not good. It's the young people. You try to tell a young person, now, you know what? You ought to try this. And they're thinking, what does this dope know? What the dope knows is that he's done that three times before and fell every time he did it, you know, or got electrocuted or stabbed himself or whatever it is. But you know when somebody, this is kind of mean, but it's cool. When someone won't listen, and you go, now, listen, young man, I don't think you ought to do that because, like, oh, you don't know nothing. I'm just telling you, if I were you, I would not put that thing right there. Oh, man, you know, I've seen it done before. Well, okay then. And you see them. There's deep satisfaction in that. But you learn from that stuff. You'll never do that again, you know. But sometimes we get full of our own plans. And so it says in verse 13, then the whole congregation sent word to the children. Now it says, don't let this fool you. The children of Benjamin, that's the 600 guys. It's just speaking in a DNA lineage, biological sense. These men, 600 men, the rock remnant, they had been there for over 3 months. If you put the timelines together, they'd been there now hiding up for over 3 months. This time frame had gone by. And so they came and they announced peace to these 600 guys. So Benjamin came back at that time and they gave them the women whom they had saved alive, and yet they had not found enough for them. Now, you got to check this out. This is absolutely amazing. Look at verse 15. And the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made void. Here's God getting the blame. The Lord had made void the tribes of Israel. Why? What's the problem? How many guys needed a wife? 600 guys. Okay. The women that they found in Jabesh that they attacked, they, in verse 12, had found, 400 virgins. You've got 400 virgins, verse 12 says, that had not known a man. So they say, okay, you 400 young ladies, right here. You got how many guys? 600 guys. You have a deficit of how many people? 200. They're short 200. Who gets the blame? God gets the blame. God, how come you're not supplying enough girls for the tribe of Benjamin, so each guy can have a wife? What's the deal? This is their plan. So watch this. Remember I told you to mark the word give, that, you know, we cannot give them our daughters? Watch what they do. These guys, verse 16, then the elders of the congregation, said, what shall we do for wives for those who remain since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed. And they said, there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin. Well, that's obvious. We've got to keep the family going. That a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. Yes, yes, we all agree. Verse 18, however, we cannot give them wives from our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn an oath, saying, cursed be the one who gives a wife to Benjamin. So what are they going to do? They're going to do what's right in their own eyes. How do they change this? They are going to, they're not going to give the wives, their daughters as wives. They swore an oath. But if someone gets the idea to kidnap their daughters, we'll make sure that while you're kidnapping our daughters, we'll look that way. And then we'll be okay before God, and we will not be guilty of giving our daughters away. That's what's going to happen. You say, that can't be. It happens, and it happens in this life. Is this amazing? Before we go to that wonderful story that's coming up, Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. How does that begin? In all your ways acknowledge him, right? So watch this. Run from your own plans. Now look, if God has given you a plan, okay, lay it out before the Lord and make sure that God is giving you that plan. None of us, church, listen, none of us hear from God perfectly clearly. None of us. I want you to know that. See, Pastor, don't you? No. The Pope doesn't. Billy Graham doesn't. No Christian, no believer does hear from God perfectly. If that were true, we would be sinless. How do I minimize then, Jack, my mistake making? Oh, that's a great question. Wait on the Lord. Always wait. God is never in a hurry. In fact, if you think you've got to hurry to make that deal or to, you know, get that thing settled, you want to know if God's in it? Wait. You say, Jack, you don't understand, dude. You don't live in the world I live in. I got to have that thing tomorrow by noon or else I'm not going to get that job. Oh, I do know how that is. I remember going through a series of interviews for this incredible corporation. In fact, I wound up going there for some other job. I wound up doing okay on the interview, on that one thing. And the guy said, I don't think you want to work over here in this department. I said, yes, I do. I want this job really bad. And he said, no, I think you need to come back tomorrow and meet with this other guy. All right. So I went back the next day, and my qualifications, I had no idea how deficient they were for what they were offering me. I go into this room, and it looked literally, I mean, I'm needing to tell you, it looked like the place. You ever seen Frankenstein, the movies, in the laboratory? Bubbles and flames and Bunsen burners and chemicals. The guy goes, I think we want you to work here. And I said, are you crazy? What? And he said, no, let's go back to personnel, and we're going to go through some series of interviews. And it went unbelievably huge interviews. And so I'm going through all this stuff, and we got to the end of the day, and I just simply said, I mean, I was terrified. I didn't want the job now. I didn't want that job. I mean, they were like lungs laying on the table. It was awesome. Real, true guts. And I said, it's clear that this job's not for me. And I thought in my mind, this must be the reason why I've been here all day. It's to give this guy the gospel. And I asked the interviewer, I said, are you finished? And he said, why? And I said, because I think I know why I'm here. And I totally took the meeting over. I said, listen, I'm supposed to tell you that Jesus Christ, and I gave him the gospel, and the guy just got quiet, put his head down, and he said, well, I grew up knowing the gospel, but I never really made a profession of faith, or I never walked with God, but anyway, well, thank you for telling me that. And I said, no, thank you. And it was, you know, my pleasure to be here today, and hope you find somebody for the job. And I left, and I went back to my old job that I hated. And I got a phone call, and the guy said, the personnel department said, Mr. Mellencrot has made his decision, and he wants you to make yours. And I said, what? And I said, can you tell Mr. Mellencrot that I'll call him 24 hours from right now? I'm going to pray about this with my wife. And the woman in personnel said, excuse me? Do you know that there are other people very qualified in line for this position? And I said, can you tell Mr. Mellencrot that I'm going to pray with my wife and I'll call him back in 24 hours? And she said, okay. Well, you know what? A, if God didn't want me to have the job, then God would fill it. B, if God wanted me to have it, I wanted to know for sure, right? So Lisa and I prayed, and I called them back to the minute. I'm not joking. To the minute, within 24 hours later. And I called personnel. I said, well, my wife and I prayed about it, and if the job is still open, then the answer is yes. And the woman said, I can't believe this, but yes, Mr. Mellon, yes, fine, okay, here's your date, this is when you come, here's the deal. I worked there 13 years, people came to know Jesus Christ, the laboratory I supervised, we had Christian radio going on, when people, and just at that location, we had over 2,000 employees at that location, when people had marital problems and issues, personnel would call the lab and ask my manager if he could send me down to personnel to counsel with people. And I would have my lab gear on. I'd have to take it off to go down there. And it was absolutely remarkable. 13 years. It was just an awesome thing. God did that. But I didn't want to assume that, well, you know, hey, the pay's better. Great benefits. It must be from God. No way. There's no way. Very, very important. Verses 19 to 23, know that there's a way back. Stay away from bad people is all I can figure out from verses 19 to 23. Just stay away from bad people. You know who they are? Stay away from them. And you know also, people are going to tell you, your friends are going to say, I think you should stay away from him. Listen to your friends.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called When You Come to the End of the Road, an appropriate title as we look at Judges chapter 21, the very last chapter of this Old Testament narrative. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, since we are at the very end of the book of Judges, we want to remind you that this entire series is now available on one convenient MP3 CD. And our offer is simple. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.